It seems like we've all heard the phrase of hanging by a thread or by the tips of your fingers. In this world today, that seems like that's what we are doing. Yeah, everybody's sitting on sort of like on pins and needles. Who's going to drop the next shoe? And that's part of why we're here. God is going to teach us His words. I've been told, go back to the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis to get started. God has had a plan from the beginning. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And let's go on down to verses 21. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abound according to their kind. Every winged bird according to his kind, and God saw that it was good. He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Going down to verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, or according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all things on earth, according to every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created the man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. And he blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the sea, over the fish, over the birds of the air, and over every creeping thing that moves on the earth. Everything that God has in His Word is for our benefit. We look at what God has created. He's created spiders, He's created birds, and human beings. But spiders and birds don't have a spirit like human does. And we, as we're grown and become baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit, we have another spirit to work with ours. The same if you look at these animals, even this, like a spider, they have a little thread. You can see it. You can't see it up here, can you? It's so small. But I had a bunch of them together. It's not here anyway. But you can see them. They can make a thread. And threads can make a cord. And cords can make a rope. So on and so forth, until they get so big, they hold ships at anchor. But a spider will only make one kind of a web. You can bring in another spider, and they won't sit there and watch them build that web and go build the same one somewhere else. Or you take a bird, and they build a nest. But a hummingbird is not going to build an eagle nest, or vice versa. They can sit and watch all day long different kinds of nests, but they can't go to the next tree and build that same nest. They build what God has created in them. They have been pre-programmed, if you will, to do what they do. We have a mind that works with God's mind to be creative just like God is. It's like you take a hair, get a few hairs together, a few more hairs, and you make strands and you weave them in and out and make a braid. You make one braid and go down the back of your neck and make two, have pigtails, and make them wrap around your head. But still, that's just a braid, you know. But we build on what God gives us. Some of these spiders build webs that are strong enough and big enough that can actually, their orbit spiders can actually catch small birds. Now, you need some of those to go with you go hunting? Yeah. But they'll always build the same stuff over and over and over again. For God gave us the mind of creation. What about habits? How do we build habits? Let's go to Ecclesiastes 4:12. It says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We look at God's word and he gives it to us for a reason so we can grow and to overcome, become like him. And it doesn't happen overnight. When we're baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit, it's not right there immediately, fully developed. It takes time. We must build, become a man our life. A little here and a little there until they become truly a part of our character. This takes practice. Hence the name of this message is Practice Makes Perfect. Just like driving a car. How many here remember when they first started driving a car? Yeah. 15, 16, maybe 14 in a farm. Well, for most of the guys, it was exciting. Girls, not so much. But you didn't just all of a sudden one day turn 16, know everything about it. It takes practice. You weren't all of a sudden a 16 Mario Andretti. And that's a race to her driver for those that don't know. It takes time and practice until the little things become a learned habit. How about God's character? Our relationship with him. When we were baptized, as I said before, we don't just all of a sudden have God's perfect character. It takes time to build character. But we must learn his character and figure it out, so to speak. God not only gives us the Spirit to figure things out, but also the instructions on order for us to perform the tasks that we can be confronted with. Upon repentance and baptism and the laying on of hands, we receive God's Holy Spirit to combine with our human spirit, so to speak. So we can develop God's character. We first created with the Spirit and man, and I'll just turn to Zechariah 1. Zechariah 12:1. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundations of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. And Acts 2:38. And Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, so you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord shall call. With the combination of the Spirit in man and God's Holy Spirit, we can have the formula to develop God's perfect character. We're told in Matthew 5:48. We'll also turn there. Matthew Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. That takes time. It takes practice to become perfect as the Father. Of course, God already knows we must grow and develop. And you see, he gives us instructions. This is full of instruction for us to grow. He gives us instructions on how we should conduct ourselves in our relationship with him and our fellow man. First, he gave us rules, set in stone, the Ten Commandments. Those, you can find those in Exodus 4 or Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 5. Verses 1 through 22. And Moses called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them, and be careful to observe them." This is the instruction. This is our school. "The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make the covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us here today. He talked with you face to face on the mountain in the midst of the fire. And I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up on the mountain. And he said, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me.'" Keep building and building on this. "You shall not make for yourselves carved images, any likeness of anything that is heaven or above, or is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy and to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." Got to keep his commandments. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold you guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day." This is the Sabbath day. "To keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you should do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your male and female servant may rest as well as you." So that the Sabbath is extremely important to God. He gave it to us for our benefit. "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your mother and your father, or your father and your mother." We don't see a lot of that today. You see a lot of just the opposite going on. "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." And he added no more. That's what he put ahead before us to go by. It's like an outline. Then he gives us his plan for salvation through his holy days. Let's turn back to Leviticus 23. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. Not yours, not mine, but God's feasts. 6 days shall your work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath, a holy solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the appointed times. We have these every year. A lot of times you think, it's so much redundancy, over and over and over again. It's for a reason, because if we don't keep doing it over again, you know what? We're going to forget about it. And there was a time when I wasn't going to church, and I forgot about it. I knew the holy days. Don't ask me what they meant. I couldn't remember it. But we do it for a reason. On the 14th day of the first month is twilight, is the Lord's Passover, which is coming up pretty shortly here. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to our Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. It says you must eat. Some people say, if I don't eat bread, I don't have to worry about it. Well, that's a wrong attitude. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work on it. But you shall offer an offering made of fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When you come into the land which I give you, and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheath of the first fruits to your harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And let me see here. Let's go on down to 15. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering. Then on the 10th day of the 7th month, it's the Day of Atonement, our favorite day. Actually, it's probably the most important day. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in the soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. He wasn't making any, he just had promises there, this is what you do, you know. He wasn't playing games. You shall do no manner of work, and it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in your dwellings. And it shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the 9th day of the month. In the evening for evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. And then again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles. For 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer offerings made by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Excuse me. A burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice, and drink offerings, everything on its day. besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, besides your gifts, besides all your vows, and besides all your free will offerings, which you give to the Lord. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day a Sabbath rest. You shall take for yourselves the first day fruit of the beautiful trees, and you make your dwellings dwelling during the feast. Then we have the last day, the eighth day. There's another holy convocation. So, but these are days, are guidelines that God has given us as his people to practice. Practice makes perfect. If we keep doing this until Christ returns, then we should be in his kingdom. But we need to be doing that all the time. Every day, practicing the things that God has given us to practice with. He gives us the tools. Whether we use them or not is up to us. But let's use those tools and have a character like God.